day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Schneider. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Gwen, and welcome everyone to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is SNA Modernization and IBM Communication Controller for Linux. Today's presenter is Chuck Gardner, Enterprise Networking and Transformation Solutions Business Development. Chuck Gardner has specialized in SNA and networking for 24 years. He has worked in communication service development and design. As a networking consultant, he helped design and deploy APPN and EE for customers worldwide. He now provides technical sales support in the Enterprise Networking and Transformation Services Development Organization. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Chuck. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the call. As Christy said, today we're going to talk about SNA modernization and IBM Communication Controller for Linux. And there's a few pages that we'll skip through, and we'll move to the agenda, which is on page 5. You can review the skipped pages later. They're mostly just abbreviations and trademarks. What we're going to talk about today, we'll start with kind of an introduction to SNA modernization. Once we've introduced it, we'll talk about some different aspects of SNA modernization, including modernizing your infrastructure, and that could be a SNA sub-area environment with IBM 3745s perhaps, or maybe you have an APPN environment, and we'll talk about some ways that you might want to modernize an APPN environment. When we're done talking about the infrastructure modernization, we'll move to how can you modernize application access. And in that, we'll talk about ways to possibly preserve some existing SNA clients and also enable some new technology that might improve the end-user interfaces for the clients. And then at the end, we'll do a summary, and there's some contact information in case you have additional questions that we can't answer during the call. Okay, so if we can skip to the next page. All right, and then page 7. Okay. One of the key objectives and the thing to remember when you're talking about SNA modernization is the primary objective of many enterprises is not to replace the SNA applications, it's to preserve them. Many, many companies have very large inventories of existing SNA applications. They perform vital roles within their enterprises, and the code works. So the SNA modernization strategy that we're talking about today provides you some solutions for keeping those applications and allowing them to maintain their critical business functions, while at the same time modernizing your application or modernizing your network and modernizing the way that the end users get at those SNA applications. And what we'll talk about when we talk about modernizing the network is technologies and strategies that will allow you to go from SNA network infrastructure to an IP-based infrastructure, but still use your SNA application. Okay, so we can go to page 8. This page shows a high-level overview of SNA modernization. It shows a high-level overview of what a typical SNA network looks like today. And if you look at the two questions on the page, it's very common for system programmers and people in charge of the networks within an enterprise to be wondering, how do I take this very complicated network that I have today that's got a variety possibly of older technologies and modernize it but be able to maintain the access for the end user applications? Could be many different technologies, protocols, variety of possibly older devices that could be replaced. And while I'm modernizing the network, how can I protect the investments that I've made in my core SNA applications, but allow them to be reused for new user interfaces and possibly to start moving them toward a services-oriented architecture. Okay, next page.
Page 9.
As you're looking at some of the as you're looking at modernizing your network, there are three main kind of main focus areas or main steps that you could look at. The first is modernizing your network infrastructure. And by that we mean replacing some of the older technologies, possibly things like token ring LANs, 3745 controllers, maybe you've got some AnyNet-based solutions, SCON technology. Replacing those with some newer technologies such as Enterprise Extender that we'll talk about a little bit later, possibly using the CCL product to replace some older 3745s. The next aspect of it is how can you simplify what we refer to as the SNA node topology? And by that we mean reducing the number of devices or end user interfaces that are somewhere in your network that have an SNA protocol stack on them. And we'll talk later about some possibilities for helping to simplify that node topology. And then the third aspect is, what can we do to provide new client technologies? How can we take possibly the old traditional green screen that end users have been using and transform them into maybe an HTML type of presentation or a web services application? Now, it's important when you're looking at this that you don't consider this to be step A, I have to modernize my network, and then step B, I can simplify. These three different areas can all be going on at the same time. Next, page 10. When we're thinking about modernizing the network, it's important to remember, what are some of the objectives? Why do we want to do this? The first reason that I've already mentioned a few times is to allow you to maintain the core business applications and the end-user access that's available for those applications. Could possibly be 3270 applications, and it could be client-server applications. There's a variety out there, but one of the objectives is to continue using those applications rather than spending a large amount of money rewriting the applications on a different protocol. You also, very common to want to be able to modernize and simplify the application portfolios. By allowing end users to replace the clients that they have now with possibly simply a browser and using an application infrastructure that is more services oriented. So in this particular model, the end users would be using a web browser and the applications would then be accessed via some type of technology that allows the SNA protocols to be transformed into web services. Another objective, very common, is simply to remove outdated SNA hardware. Could be 3745s or any one of those family. Could be some of the older router technologies, something like SCON, AnyNet technology, possibly wanting to convert from token ring to on Ethernet, LAN within the data center, or even out in the branch offices. And the next objective that's very common, that's important to many businesses, is to reduce the overall cost. Make the network infrastructure simpler, more modern, based on a single IP-based network instead of a variety of different protocols to allow higher capacity, more reliability, and to improve things like security. And finally, when you do some of these things, they can result in lowering the amount of skills needed to support SNA types of devices and SNA protocols and SNA footprints in the network. Okay, so if we could skip to page 11. So this page shows that, again, there are three distinct activities when you're considering SNA modernization, and it shows that they're all interdependent and interrelated. You may choose to do them in any order, so it's important that you take a look at what you can achieve through each one of these steps and spend some time understanding them and then build a priority to determine which of these three steps will help you and in what order you want to do some of the activities within these three steps. We're on page 12 now. This provides a kind of a high-level introduction to SNA modernization. And what we're going to be talking about in the next few slides is some of the technologies that you can use to modernize your infrastructure, some things to help reduce the SNA topology, and then some technologies to help improve the end-user interfaces that your clients can use to access the SNA technologies. Page 13 and then 14. All right. What we'll talk about first is how can you simplify and modernize your SNA infrastructure. When you look at the SNA architecture, there are some important things to remember about the types of levels of SNA architecture. The traditional, original sort of SNA architecture we refer to as subarea. And that's where you have a VTAM working with NCPs that would have been running in an IBM 3745 communication controller. And all your network is designed in kind of a hierarchical. You've got applications at the top, and then you've got end users down at the bottom, and VTAM and NCP help them talk together. The SNA network evolved past that to where we had advanced peer-to-peer networking, or APPN, which provided much improved dynamics and simplified the definitions for networking. And on top of APPN, we added something called high-performance routing. And the whole purpose of high-performance routing was to provide increased throughput and, more significantly for most customers, to improve the availability by enabling something known as non-disruptive path switch. The most common APPN HPR technology that we talk about a lot recently is something called Enterprise Extender, which allows you to transport your SNA APPN traffic across an IP network. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. So moving down this page, it's quite often asked, you know, if I have a subarea, you know, an SNA environment today, and it's subarea, should I move to APPN? And the answer is that you don't have to. You can keep your SNA subarea environment and still modernize your infrastructure using some things, some protocols and technologies such as CCL, DLSW, IPTG, and XOT. Those technologies can help you keep your SNA, keep your subarea, but move your network to an IP infrastructure. Alternatively, you could migrate your subarea environment to APPN and then allow APPN, using something such as Enterprise Extender, to talk across an IP network. If your SNA environment is already APPN enabled, then HPR allows you to improve availability, and if you use Enterprise Extender, you can integrate your SNA traffic onto your IP network. What we often find is that many environments, you'll end up using both. perhaps you're using some sub-area technology for S&I communication to business partners, or you could be using APPN within your own environment. Possibly you have a parallel sysplex set up and you're using APPN. The important point here is that you don't have to get rid of sub-area. You can keep it and use APPN at the same time, or just keep sub-area. Okay, if we go next, what we're going to do is move to the next page. We'll start talking about how can you modernize your sub-area environment. And then on page 16. Okay. I've mentioned already a couple times something called CCL, and this page introduces, at a high level, provides you with kind of a historical chart about the IBM communication controllers. They were first put out somewhere around 1974, and the communication controller filled an important piece in the overall enterprise networking solution. Over the years, the 3745 has evolved into a much more modern technology. What we did in the last few years is we recognized that there was a need for a newer technology to help you continue along the road of modernizing an SNA network, but continuing to use the NCP features that were important to your business. So what we did is we developed a product called Communication Controller for Linux that allows you to move your NCP software off of the 3745 and onto the systemd processor. By doing this, what we did is we created sort of the next generation of the IBM communication controllers. It allows you to get all the benefits of the systemd processor and move your core network to be completely IP by eliminating the SNA hardware. And I'll talk a little bit more if we go to the next page. It shows you some of the features of the communication controller for Linux. Okay. Essentially, CCL was designed to allow you to keep running the NCP and the NPSI support that you have today when an NCP and NPSI are running on the 3745. Same commands that you would use to start an NCP and operate an NCP you can use when you're operating in a CCL environment. Similar network management tools such as NetView, Entunemon, et cetera, that you've been using, you can continue to work. However, if you're thinking about trying to simplify, perhaps getting rid of token ring technology, perhaps you want to get rid of some ESCON access that you've got to the host, CCL will help you move toward those goals. There's a list of some of the new features, expanded LAN technology, support of some protocols such as data link switching, X25 over TCP/IP, and then there's a protocol that you can use between CCLs called IPTG, where we send the traditional sub-area flows across an IP network. CCL almost exclusively uses IP-based protocols for communication, and another benefit that you get is that you can use some of the IP-based security technologies such as IPsec and VPN or some of your SNA links that are being transported across an IP network. All right. If we go to page 18, this page shows you some of the ways that you can connect CCL, VTAM, MPSI. I won't try to talk about each one of the different types of connections. A few of the main things to notice where they can help for an SNA network infrastructure modernization and simplification are CCL can allow you to replace the 3745s that are used for perhaps SNI business partner connections. You can get rid of the 3745, but continue to support those SNI business partner connections. It also allows you to keep, you might have some downstream peripheral nodes attached. If you have serial lines coming into the 3745, we can support those through a router that would end up connecting into the mainframe. If we go to page 19, these are some of the technologies that are available to help when you're trying to simplify your SNA network and modernize your infrastructure. These three technologies are three good candidates for transporting sub-area SNA across an IP network. Data link switching is a technology that was invented actually by IBM a number of years ago that allows SNA link level frames to be transported over a network embedded in TCP/IP connections. You need a DLSW capable endpoint at each side of the connection, and then they will talk across TCP/IP to transport the SNA frames. Something that's important to note here is that CCL does support an inboard DLSW endpoint. So if you have DLSW out in the network and you're looking to simplify your networking infrastructure, you can run DLSW all the way up to the mainframe and connect it into CCL's DLSW. X25 over TCP/IP, or what we often call XOT, is a standard that allows you to transport X25 packets over a TCP/IP network. It's supported by a number of vendors, as the note says here, and IBM has also issued a statement of direction that there will be an XOT product available that will work with CCL and the NCPs that CCL supports. And one more technology on here to help you with sub-area network modernization is something called IPTG. IPTG is a CCL protocol that allows you to communicate between an NCP on one CCL with an NCP on another CCL to support INN, basically inter-sub-area links, and SNI links between business partners across the TCP/IP network. It only supports sub-area flows, and you can secure those with some of the IP security technologies. Okay, so if we move on to the next page will introduce modernizing your infrastructure. Okay, we talked about sub-area. Next, I'll talk a little bit about modernizing an APPN network. The first bullet on this page, transporting an SNA network, in particular APPN high-performance routing, over an IP network allows you to significantly reduce the amount of SNA protocols and SNA hardware that you might have and SNA endpoints that you might have in the network. There are a variety of products that support Enterprise Extender. There's a list here of some of them. APPN also has support for boundary functions. You can still use an NCP if you want to attach peripheral devices to it, You can also connect VTAMs to VTAMs, and there's a way to continue to support what's called dependent LUs within the network. A few other considerations in there are there are ways to reduce the size of an HTTPN network. You can control the number of transmission groups, the number of links. I won't go into all the details on those, but there are places that you can go and read more about them later on. The final bullet on the page talks about HTTPN business partner-based connectivity. There's something called extended border node, which is actually very similar to SNI. And we've got a page later on where I'll talk a little bit about that. Okay, so if we can go to page 22. This is a very quick introduction to the different routing protocols available for HTTPN. Essentially, the original protocol was something called ISR, Intermediate Session Routing, and that was a hop-by-hop method of transporting data from one endpoint to another. HTTPN technology was enhanced to support something called high-performance routing, and essentially high-performance routing provided improved availability and a higher performance. The bullets list some of the different ways. The most important aspect of high-performance routing is something I mentioned earlier called non-disruptive path switch. And what that means is if a node or a link on a session path goes down, then the APPN high-performance routing has the ability to find, if there is a new path available, to find it and switch the sessions so the end users can continue doing their jobs. If you look on the picture down on the bottom, what that would mean is if you've got traffic flowing, for example, from the EN1 on the left all the way over to EN6 on the right, if perhaps the link between the NN3 node and the NN5 node went down, the APPN high-performance routing would be able to find the alternate path going through NN4 and maintain the end-user session. And then the final protocol that we'll talk about on here is Enterprise Extender allows you to transport the HPR traffic across an IP network. That is supported on a variety of platforms. Some of them are listed here. And as well, there are a few platforms where it is not supported. And we'll talk about some alternatives a couple slides from now. Okay, if we go to page 23. This page lists some of the characteristics of Enterprise Extender, and I won't go into all the details. You can read through them later, and if you've got questions, feel free to ask during the question and answer or contact one of the contacts in the back of the presentation, and we'll be able to talk with you one-on-one. Enterprise Extender essentially is a method of sending SNA, APPN, high-performance routing traffic over an IP network. It accomplishes this by using a UDP application, and when you're in an APPN network, if there's a link that uses the Enterprise Extender protocol to the APPN network, it looks just like any other HPR link. There's some other notes and things to be aware of on here. The SNA traffic is sent using UDP, and we actually have 5 different UDP port numbers that we maintain and that we use for different portions of the traffic. 3 of them are used for high, medium, and low SNA priority traffic. That corresponds to the SNA classes of service. And then there's one that's used for control flows and then one that's used for network priority traffic, perhaps between the APPN control points. The reason I mentioned the port numbers is sometimes when you're looking at setting up Enterprise Extender to go between enterprises, you should talk to the group that's in charge of your firewalls to make sure that they enable the APPN or the Enterprise Extender UDP ports to allow traffic to go out of the network. There's a list here of some of the main, the typically used Enterprise Extender nodes. That would include ZOS communication server on Linux, ComServer Windows, Cisco SNA switch. There are some other Enterprise Extender capable nodes as well. It has all the features of HPR traffic, including the non-disruptive path switch. You can secure Enterprise Extender traffic with IPsec, and you can use Enterprise Extender for business partner traffic. Okay, if we go to page 24. Now, one of the limitations of Enterprise Extender is that if you're running VSE and VM, Enterprise Extender is not supported on those VTAMs. And the alternative there is that you can use the communication server for Linux to be the Enterprise Extender front end for VM and VSE, and that'll allow you to bring Enterprise Extender traffic into the data center, and with communication server Linux running on System Z, all the way into the System Z processor, and then use possibly an APPN ISR or non-HPR connection to send the data to the VSE or VM host. And there's some notes down at the bottom of the page talking about the VSE and the VM would need to be in the same net ID as the ComServer Linux in order to support this kind of configuration. The next page, 25, talks about the APPN alternative to SNI. Earlier, I talked about using the 3745 and NCPs running a connection type called SNI for business partner communication. APPN has an alternative called Extended Border Node, which also allows you to connect to enterprises. The picture that we're showing here shows connections between, if you look at them, the hosts that are on the left toward the bottom, the Net A hosts, are using an SNI connection to talk to the Net B hosts. And then the Net B host is also using an APPN connection with Extended Border Node to talk to the Net C host. So the important thing to remember here is that you can use SNI and Extended Border Node based on what type of connectivity you need. Now, one kind of problem that there has been with trying to implement an Extended Border Node connection between enterprises is sometimes the company on the other end doesn't want to implement APPN, or they don't have the skills. And that's where the CCL that we talked about earlier provides a good alternative. If you can't use Enterprise Extender, or for some reason you choose not to, then you can continue to modernize your network by moving to CCL, keeping your SNI connections. Okay. And that ends the section on modernizing your infrastructure. If you go to the next page, what we're going to do is talk about modernizing application access. This will be a high-level overview of some of the different technologies and approaches that you might want to use. Okay. There are two primary types of applications that you need to think about when you're looking at modernizing your SNA application access. The first type is 3270 applications. Those are the traditional green screens where you have kind of a dumb terminal that connects to an application on the mainframe. The other type of application is more of a client-server application using possibly LU0, LU6.2 protocol, where the server performs transactions with the client to accomplish its tasks, and then the client somehow presents that information to the end user. So if we go to page 28. When you're looking at modernizing your SNA application access, there are two kind of dimensions to think about. One is to simplify your network by consolidating the SNA protocol stack, all the different kinds of devices that might be running SNA, and they may be out in a branch office, possibly they're in the data center, they could even be in someone's home or something. Take all of those SNA protocol stacks and begin moving them up that left line toward the data center. So as you move them up the line and move them closer to the data center, the number of SNA protocol stacks can be reduced. Along with that, the other aspect is to standardize and simplify the clients. And that would be moving toward a web browser, web services, requester model, where the end user no longer has a green screen. They may have something as simple as a browser that allows them to accomplish everything, or possibly an application that performs web services and then presents the data to the end user in some kind of customized interface. The important things to remember here is that the technologies that are available today allow you to keep the end user applications out there without having to use an SNA protocol stack, and that the web browser is becoming more and more common as a client, and that some of these technologies will allow you to do that but keep your SNA applications. Okay. So next we want to talk about, on page 29, talk about how can you simplify the number of nodes that you have in the network. And I'll briefly run through some of the technologies here. I suspect that most of you have probably heard about TN3270, so I won't go into great detail on that. Just keep in mind that it allows you to replace a custom, an SNA, possibly application in an end user workstation with a TN3270 client, and then that client can talk IP all the way up to the TN3270. So that allows you to reduce the number of SNA nodes by moving the SNA from the client up into the TN3270 server. On the next slide, page 31, what can you do about LU0 and LU6.2 clients and workstations? TN3270 doesn't really fix that. There are several choices available. One of them is you could keep SNA and replace an SNA network with a technology allowing you to transport the SNA across an IP network. That could be done with Enterprise Extender, data link switching. Option B shows that you can actually keep the SNA client on the workstation and use something called a remote API technology to transport the application calls that are being done down on the workstation across an IP network to a remote API server that then uses SNA to talk to the application on the other end. So this way you've reduced some SNA and moved the SNA protocol up to a new server and consolidated, but kept the end user application on the workstation. And then a third option is there is a Windows Terminal Server technology that allows you to use the GUI interface on the end user workstation and move the applications up to a common server. The next page, 32, gives you a high-level overview of the SNA remote API client. And the important thing to remember here about the remote API client is that the SNA application can continue running where it is, but it allows you to remove the SNA protocol from that end-user workstation and move that protocol up to a server possibly running in the data center. So you reduce the number of SNA nodes, which was the objective in this section, but you kept the core application and the end-user interface without disturbing it. Okay, if we go to page 33, what we'll talk about next is some new client technologies that you can use to change the end-user interfaces. Okay, and then page 34. As I said earlier, web browsers or a web services requester are becoming very, very widely used for end-user clients. And when you're thinking about doing that, there's kind of two aspects, or in this case it refers to them as two stages. One is, how can you enhance the end-user experience? And this talks about possibly providing a new interface, a new web browser interface, possibly integrating data from multiple sources onto one screen instead of just presenting the old green screen that the end user was used to. The other stage is, how can you move some of your SNA applications into the web services, into using web services? And in this particular case, you may not be using a web browser as your end-user interface, but you've got a custom application at the desktop, and it's relying on web services to communicate up to the data center instead of SNA 3270 transactions and LU62 and LU0 flows. Next page, 35, just a quick chart that shows for some of the different application transform choices, what are some of the different products that you might look at to be able to use those different protocols. On the previous page, I talked about presentation integration or programmatic integration. And for SNA 3270 and SNA LU0 and LU62 applications, this shows some of the choices that you might want to use for providing that integration. Okay. If we move to page 36, I'll just briefly mention some of the different choices here for integration. The IBM Host Access Transform Services, HATS, is one choice for integrating 3270 applications, possibly 5250 screens, into an HTML interface. It can combine data from a variety of different sources onto one web screen that the end user can then see. The next page, 37. On this page, we show one possible choice for integrating some of the 3270 traffic, getting it from many possible sources. The original end user was using an SNA 3270 screen, and then they possibly migrated to TN3270. And one of the limitations of both of those is that the end user was still seeing those original green screens. The third step in the evolution is migrating those 3270 data streams into a HASS environment and possibly into, you know, either a web browser or a web service requester, still using the TN3270 protocol, talking up to your applications, but now you have the opportunity to present the data in a new format and to integrate the data from various sources onto one screen. And if you go to page 38, what you'll see here is that a similar choice is available for LU0 and LU6.2. The only difference here is that it's a different technology and a different product that you would need to be able to do that integration. In the earlier example, it was HAT. In this example, it's a branch transformation toolkit that allows you to do that integration. And then on page 39, it shows an overview of some of the choices available. CICS and IMS are two very common subsystems that end users would be interacting with. And the important part of this page is to show that you can use something called subsystem independent technology, which is something like WebSphere, you know, the HATS possibly, or the Branch Transformation Toolkit. That's one choice that you have. Also, there are CICS and IMS specific technologies that will allow you to do specialized transformation of the subsystem types of communications to the web browser or to the web services requester. And if we turn to page 40, that's everything that I was going to cover. At this point, I'm going to do a brief summary, and then there's some contact information later, and then open it up to questions. The next page. The message on this screen is that there's an architecture that allows applications at each endpoint to be able to continue working while you're making changes at a variety of different levels. You can change the hardware, you can change new protocols, you can introduce new clients, and because the architecture is developed with a variety of layers, you can go in and replace one of those layers and continue to have your applications working with minimal or possibly no impact to the end users or the subsystems. The SNA protocol was originally built in these layers to allow this kind of changes and to help protect the investment that have been made in the applications that people rely on for core business. The following pages I'm not going to cover. They just provide some summary information for where some of these technologies are available within different products. And if we skip to page 46. Okay, this chart gives you links to a number of sites that provide some valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers some in-depth technical information. There's events links on the support pages that will point you to webcasts and conference information. You can also visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules that will help new users learn, you know, get up to speed quicker. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all the product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email for products that are of interest to you. And that's all I have. I'll turn it back to Christy now.
Okay, thank you, Chuck, for a great presentation. At this point, Gwen, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to our presenter, Chuck Gardner.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And it appears there are no questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Ms. Schneider for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, Gwen. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. Remember, a replay of the presentation will be available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site early next week. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Chuck, for presenting today.
Thank you, everyone. That does conclude today's conference. You may now disconnect.